Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this September 17th, 2025. I have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by our great friends from the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. We got Amy Vetter with us. Amy, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Good to see you too, James.
Always appreciate the conversation. Deeply appreciate the work that you and the team over there do for our community, helping out our community and doing so much good. And part of what you guys do is kind of sharing information, keeping people up to date on things. Mm-hmm. You guys are incredibly good at this. And we're going to kind of focus today on healthcare power of attorney and financial power of attorney.
Yes.
And you're going to help me know what I just said. It is a little complicated, I think, for some people.
Yeah. And, you know, oftentimes people will think that they need an attorney or need to go to a lawyer's office, or they have to pay someone to complete this paperwork. But that is not the case. We actually have those forms right at our office. You can stop by and pick them up anytime. You can also just do a general Google search for Wisconsin Power of Attorney paperwork, and it'll come right up. Mm-hmm. So with healthcare power of attorney paperwork, you just need two witnesses that are not related to you to sign it. And then with financial power of attorney, we recommend that you get it notarized, which can be done at your local bank.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to this topic, Amy, are there questions that you get asked more than others about this? Are there things that people are inquiring about more than others?
So a lot of times people are not really clear on the purpose of them or, you know, don't think that they need it and don't really want their rights taken away. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of the power of attorney documents are just to have on hand in the event something should happen. So as an example, I am middle age and I'm healthy, but I have paperwork on file in the event I should get into some kind of accident or, you know, God forbid I have some kind of stroke and I'm incapacitated and I'm not able to verbalize my my medical choices. Mm-hmm. So if that should occur, my parents are my primary and secondary agents for my healthcare power of attorney. Mm-hmm. So if I should be in a coma or something, they can activate that power of attorney at the hospital. Two doctors have to sign off stating that due to my condition, I am no longer capable of making my own decisions. And then based on how I complete that document, it lets my parents know and the doctors know what my wishes are. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I recover. Mm-hmm. And if and when that happens, then they can rescind the activation, and then I can become my own decision maker again.
Oddly, my parents are mine too.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep.
When it comes to something like this, Amy, one of the things that I also came up and just doing a little homework I was doing on this one, and even asking like my mom and dad, hey, what did you guys think of this, or did you have any questions,
sure,
or some of that? One of the thoughts I had was, you know, what you said there about needing two individuals witness this that you were not related to. Mm-hmm. In our area here specifically, just focusing on Wisconsin Rapids and Coosa, some of our surrounding areas, we have a lot of our senior population that is, alone and may not have something like that. Is there resources for that? Is there ways to help with something along those lines, something like that?
So we unfortunately are not able to help with filling out the document because it is a legal form.
Understandable.
So, but if you have neighbors, if there's somebody that you know at a local coffee shop, you know, it just has to be a witness that just they only sign the form and they have no other involvement. But if you're talking about appointing someone as an agent, somebody who is willing to take on the responsibility of being your power of attorney, you know, when that situation comes up, that does become more challenging if an individual doesn't have anybody, you know, to be that person. And unfortunately, there aren't a whole lot of resources you know, and we kind of deal with that on a case by case basis.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Understandable. Yeah. But it's also kind of comforting to know, for lack of a better word, just that the it's not. I ask you that question, mm-hmm. and you weren't blown away. Like, oh, I never thought of that. Like, yeah. it's nice to hear.
We hear about situations like that. It does come up,
and that you guys are doing your best to cover those mm-hmm. bases and help out where you can. It's not surprising you guys do that all the time, but yeah. it's nice to her. I think that there is a comfort in knowing that.
Yeah.
Another thing, and you kind of touched on this a little bit too, is the idea of people, maybe they've already filled this out, but they mm-hmm. want to change it. They want to change their
yep.
who their power of attorney is and some of those things. How complicated is that?
That is not complicated
really?
At all.
Right.
And we do hear about that. You know, sometimes things change, relationships change. So all you would do is you would complete a new form, and the one that's dated the most recent trumps whatever paperwork was filled out in the past. So, like, for example, a lot of times we get calls from people that say, oh yeah, I have that complete, I have it filled out for sure, but I don't know where it is. And that happens all the time. So
you'll be getting that call from me one day. Yes.
I'm sure I will. I'll be there to help. I can't be a witness and I can't be your agent.
Right, good to know.
But all you would have to do is fill out new paperwork. Mm-hmm. And once you get that filled out again, we will help with making copies for you. Mm-hmm. Because you should keep the original. You should make sure that your doctor, whatever provider you go to, has copies on file there. We do recommend, too, that you have a copy of that form maybe on your refrigerator mm-hmm. or by your front door. In the event there is an emergency or, you know, EMS has to come and pick you up because maybe you fell and you have to be taken to the emergency room, it's nice to have that somewhere where they can easily grab it mm-hmm. and bring it with them to the hospital or wherever you're being transported to.
With situations like that, every second counts. And having it a very accessible, mm-hmm. having it even out in the open a little bit.
Yep.
It's not sensitive information, so you're not, you know, necessarily worrying about who's
right.
going to see it. Mm-hmm. And you have it there in, you know, another one of those situations where it's a break glass in case of needed kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You hope you never break that glass. It gets dust
yep.
on it. But mm-hmm. if you need it, it's there.
And another question that we get asked about a lot, you know, oftentimes people are calling about their elderly parents or, you know, other family members, and they already have healthcare power of attorney on file in place. And we ask them, has it been activated? Mm. And sometimes the assumption is that, well, yeah, it's been signed, it's active, but it's actually not until two doctors have signed a form that only doctors have access to. Mm-hmm. It's called a statement of incapacity. Mm-hmm. And two doctors have to agree and sign this form mm-hmm. that says, due to the individual's medical condition, they no longer have the capacity to make their own medical decisions. Mm-hmm. So for example, let's say a parent or grandparent or other family member has a diagnosis of dementia, and they're starting to decline. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've been doing everything for them for a while. You make doctor's appointments on their behalf. You talk to the doctors. Well, that could just mean that there's a release of information on file. Mm-hmm. And so you've been given permission or consent mm-hmm. to talk to the providers. Mm-hmm. But unless you have that form and it's just one sheet that says statement of incapacity, it has two doctor's signatures on it, that power of attorney is not activated. So that means that your family member is still making all of their own decisions. So if you're calling us to put in a referral to get information about programs and services, you know, we're happy to speak with you, but we're going to need permission from your family member before we can do anything to help.
Now, Amy, you had something else that you wanted to touch on when it comes to this subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people often ask, well, what do I do to get it activated? How do mm-hmm. I go about that? Mm-hmm. So we often suggest that you would call that individual's primary doctor or the doctor that knows them the best, and you know, explain what you're looking at, what you're asking for, and they may want to make an appointment to do a little evaluation, kind of see where they're at cognitively, you know, how their memory is, how their cognition is, how their brain is functioning, and they may want to do a more in-depth evaluation or assessment. Or they may know that patient so well that they'll say, oh yeah, it's time, let's activate it. And then they will take care of it from there. So an appointment may need to be set up that could take some time.
Yeah, and, and so a good idea to reach out, the sooner the better,
right,
to be able to do that. And Amy,
before
we let you go, I did want to touch on just reminding our audience, at least, that there are so many great programs and classes available over at the EDRC. If there is something that you're wondering, oh, I wonder if they have a class for it, they probably do.
Absolutely.
And if they don't, they want to know about that class, that idea that you have. So when it comes to those things, or maybe it's volunteering you're looking into and you want to add to that, I have been talking to a number of kids that are getting ready to go off to college and talking with them about volunteer opportunities, and very first thing out of my mouth is Meals on Wheels. And being able to impact that, not only does it look good on a resume, but it's something that you'll carry with you the rest of your life.
And we would love to see you. Just call us.
Reach out to them. And Amy, if they want to do that, how can they do that?
You can call us at 866-486-9545. You can go to our website at adrc-cw.org.
Also, keep in mind that for our friends over in Wausau, that new location you guys got over there and everything, be sure to keep that in mind, spread the word about that, make sure that the whole community knows, and you should be sure to spread the word to the whole group over there, all you guys, your whole team, and let them know how much we appreciate them. I mean, it's always great talking with you, Amy, and really deeply appreciate the work you guys do over there.
And we appreciate everyone in the community as well, and we just love to hear from you, so... Call us.
Please do. And also keep in mind their website, adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see those things otherwise. Thanks again for the time, Amy.
Yep, thank you. Go Pack, go.
And we will be back with more Rapids Report here at WFHR, locally grown radio.